أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. There was a suggestion that we do not start Surah Tawbah today and inshallah postpone it for next week. So we only deal with this last part of Surah Yasin, and then probably would have a longer period for questions and answers, probably about whatever we covered in Surah Yasin, inshallah. Now, if you remember the last verse of Surah Yasin, verse number 83, was فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. You will be returned to him. You be brought back to the one in whose hand is the malakut of the heavens and the earth. Now, this returning to God, what does this mean? And it is not only mentioned here, tens of verses, or probably hundreds of verses, talk about a return towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk about going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course it makes sense. Everything is moving towards Him. In Surah Najm, we have that وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. Muntaha means the ending point of everything. Of course, the muntaha, the ending point of everything, is your Lord. When we talk about returning, when we talk about ending, we are actually dealing about a journey, a travel. First of all, these verses give us the idea that everything is moving, is traveling towards, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَعَىٰ. The destination is the Lord. Now, if you remember, we also talked about لَقَىٰ Allah previously, meeting with the Lord. It also denotes that there is a meeting point that you have to move towards. So there are two things here when we talk about رُجُوءَ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ, returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, that everything is moving, traveling, and the ending destination is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things. First, that everything is traveling. Second, that the destination is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this verse there is a third thing as well. And that third thing is that the beginning has been from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Because when we talk about return, when we talk about rujoo means when you have started from somewhere and then you go back to the same place as well. Therefore, three very important and difficult to explain, of course, issues are here. First of all, everything has started. First of all, everything is moving and traveling. Now, second, the beginning, the mabda, the starting point of this travel has been Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third, the destination, the returning point of this journey will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself again. Now, with regards to human beings, of course, we can explain this in one way. With regards to objects, things which are not intelligible, not intelligent, we of course have to discuss this in another way. And this is not limited to these two human objects and other things only. It's as we see in the Quran, we read in the Quran, even the angels are traveling, although they are free from all these matter, movements of matter, but there is a sort of travel for them upwards, that at the end, they also have to arrive at their Lord in Surah Ma'arij, we have تَعْرُضُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ. The ruh, the big ruh which we discussed about already, and the angels move up towards him. في يوم, in a day, كان مقداره خمسون ألف سنة, خمسين ألف سنة. The period of which, a day, the period of which is 50,000 years, as you count. In your scale of timing, it is 50,000 years. So the angels also move up towards him on that day, in one day. So, this movement is difficult to explain for human beings, difficult to explain for objects, difficult to explain for angels, and difficult to explain why at all there is such a movement. If everything had started to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if everything has started from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is to go back to Him again, why at all Allah has started such an excursion for His creatures? Why do we come from Him and go back to Him at all? Again, what is the purpose behind this journey and travel? And what does it mean that we have come from Him and we go back from Him? هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ والآخر, isn't it? You have this verse. Of course, this verse has many, many meanings. We have in some hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have some servants towards the end of the creation, near the day of judgment, that would understand what these verses in the beginning of Surah Hadid would mean. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. What does this mean? But one thing is clear, yes, هو الأول, he is the starting point, والآخر, and he is the destination, again. We are coming from him, going back to him. So if this is the case, if destination and starting point are the same thing, why at all you should set on a journey? Now, before explaining a bit more about this رجوع إلى الله, إلى ربكم ترجعون, وإليه ترجعون, let me mention an example. Suppose you want to go to a holiday. Okay, you start from your home and you go back to your home. And you know whatever you are going to do in this journey, minute by minute, hour by hour. You say, okay, we board on the plane at, say, 8:30, then we arrive at 10:30, then 11:30 we are in our hotel, 12 o'clock we are going around the city, and then hour by hour you have planned your journey until the very minute that you arrive at your home. Now, if you wanted to go and come back to your home, why did you go at all? Especially, you knew all the plans already. You know, well, Allah has the plan of His creation. He knows already who is going to live how many years, where, when they are going to come about, when they are going to die. All these plans are already, as we discussed. The plan of this creation is already in Ummul Kitab, is where the planning is done. It's already there. And then it starts completely according to that plan. Absolutely, without any slight difference and change. It goes according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned. Of course, if it had gone differently, if it was to be different, then we should have said that Allah is not a good planner, or say Allah is not a good tour leader, because this is a tour that we are going to go through in this world and going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if things go wrong, if things don't go according to the plan, he's not a very experienced or good tour leader, you should say. But he is. He is a very good tour leader. He tours his creation through this journey and takes them back to him again. Now, usually when you do such a trip, a pre-planned trip, where you start from your home and go back to your home again. Why do you do that? Okay, there are many things. Even you might know completely, even you might know exactly what you are going to see. For example, you have the films of all the places that you have seen, you are going to see. You know exactly what time you are going to arrive, what you are going to do, what you are going to see. Everything is already known for you. And then you come back. What have you gained from this journey? What is it that makes the journey justifiable at all? Well, certainly the experience of the journey itself is so valuable. Before you go, you have seen the film, you have planned everything and all these things. But after you come back, you are now a person completely different in your experience. Now, if this is for pleasure, of course you have gained lots of pleasure. But if this is a scientific excursion, for example, or something which adds to your knowledge, then of course when you come back, you are a completely different person in terms of knowledge than what you were previously. Now, the whole issue of going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we start from Him, of course. He actually initiates us from His own Asma. Then we come to this excursion to this world. And He said that you are going to come back to Me, but you are not the same people when you come back to Me. Now you are completely different. You have experienced different phases, different lives, as we are going through different lives and different phases in this world and in the next world. And then at the end, when you come back to Me, now you are completely different people. You have come to the same place, but you are not the same person. Now you have developed completely into something else. And this is the whole purpose of actually unfolding the Ummul Kitab. The Ummul Kitab unfolds in this world, so to speak. The Ummul Kitab is a book in which, of course, you say, everything is said, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So what's the point of all this? No, the point of all this is that just to put that into practice. And when that is put into practice, so just to unfold that plan. So the Ummul Kitab unfolds itself here. But of course, Allah says, إِنَّهُ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقِ. Of course, He initiates, He starts in the khalq. ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ. Then He takes it back to Him. Now, this does not is not specific to human beings. It is for everything. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. No creature, no living creature on the earth, no bird in the sky are living, but they are ummah, they are communities like you. Of course, we do not understand this sense of community in animals, but Allah says they are communities like you. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. Then they will be collected towards their Lord. Hashr as well has the same meaning. Now this ruju is mentioned in many different words and terminology in the Quran. So abundant these verses of coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going back to Him are in the Quran that you will see it in many, many different terminologies. Ala ila Allah tasirul umur. All the affairs which go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَيْنَا الْمَصِيرُ itself, of course. The returning, the travel, the path of the travel is coming to us. So this is one word, مَصِيرُ. إِلَيْهِ تُقْلَبُونَ. قَلْب is also, when you go and come is تَقَلُّب, of course. وَتَقَلُّبَكَ فِي السَّاجِدِينَ. Allah sees you're going and coming among the sajidin. However, in the Quran, we have in many other verses that إِلَيْهِ تُقْلَبُونَ. At the end of this coming and going, you are going to go back to Him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. anna ila rabbika al-muntaha, the intaha, the ending point, the destination is towards your Lord, and the ruju is towards your Lord, and mi'raj for the angels. But the angels, of course, don't come to this excursion into this world. It's different for them. Allah talks about a mi'raj for them, going up. Min Allah bil ma'arij, Allah, which has lots of means by which His creatures could go up towards Him, and then the angels would go up to Him. And this is the hashr of the angels, which Amir al-Mu'mineen speaks about in Najul Balagha, that the angels are worried about that day, which they have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak. So, this very concept of rujoo, first of all tells us that everything is initiated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's talk about our own selves. We don't mind about others, other things. They are going to be judged or to be taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's talk about ourselves. Our soul is something which comes from a spirit which is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a spirit created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is with Allah, it is around His arsh, so to speak. On the Day of Judgment, at the end of Surah Zumar, we have these verses that وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On the Day of Judgment, you will see that the angels are surrounding the arsh, the throne. The angels that were sent everywhere to do things, they come back, all are surrounding around, are sitting around the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is collected back to Him. Now, we were from a spirit which is right in the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beside the arsh of subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak. And then these spirits were sent down to this world for an excursion, so to speak, for a journey. And this journey, we come down to this lowest point of our journey. That's the end of the excursion here, where we start to go back again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we come to our bodies. In this body, we actually realize what we are, or what we want to be. We realize it. When we are there, we are still crude. We haven't realized anything. We come with this body, we come to a world in which we can realize ourselves. We can materialize what is inside this soul, which very amazingly and wonderfully is given free will, which is not comprehensible for us. That how this is possible for something which is completely and totally in hands of someone else to have free will as well. This is very complicated. This is not in any way going to be comprehended by our minds. But this is how Allah says it is like that. We just have to accept it. Although everything is in His hands, we have free will as well. So we come, we realize things in us, and then we go back. We go to the same place, but now we are different. We have realized certain things inside ourselves through this excursion, through this journey, which comes and goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it is the same place where we have come from. But now we see that same place in a different light, with a different eye. This is that place again. This liqa Allah, which Quran talks about, that you are going to come and meet me again. There is a meeting point. There is an appointed time. There are many, many verses that Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَوَاتَ وَالْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. There is a time for this excursion. There is a time for this journey. And this journey ends when that time comes. That ajalun musamma. When that ajalun musamma comes, this journey would end. And now all of you have come back to me. But, of course, human beings go back to him. They have, during this journey, they have acted differently. And therefore, when they arrive back in their places, now they see things, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with different eyes, with this in different lines. Some of them just see the Ra, some of them just see the that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping them at bay, not to see Him. And some of them, of course, see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is completely a different life now than what it was before. This coming and going back has made everything to, had brought everything to realization actually. It was just an unfolded plan. Now the plan has unfolded, people have come and have gone back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this rujoo is the very end, the very aim and purpose of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give his creatures a type of life which is full of understanding, full of free will. If you remember, we said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create something, He just says kun and it is. He doesn't need any means for that. He doesn't need to wait, to think about something and then want it to be and bring the means and all these things. Now, when we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if of course we have realized our potentials rightly, then Allah says, you will become like me. When we go to Jannah, inshallah, we will be just an image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we have in hadith. Of course, this hadith, I don't know whether this is authentic or not, but it could be interpreted in different ways. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam after His own image. His own image. Now, we have this type of anthropomorphic explanation of this hadith, saying that yes, Allah is like human beings and has created human beings like Himself. He has face, He has hands, He has feet, and He has created human beings after His own image. And I have really heard some Sunni brothers saying this to me, that you are wrong thinking that Allah doesn't have any face or body, because this hadith certainly says human being is created like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, I don't know how we could imagine such a thing, but after His own image, might be, well, certainly it should mean this, that He gives Adam and his progeny all attributes that He Himself has. And therefore Adam will be just an image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an image which we could see, of course, visible image. He Himself we cannot see, but His attributes we can see in Adam and in his progeny, especially in Jannah. You could see that in Jannah, of course, we have in the Quran, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا, whatever they want, it will be there for them. So in Jannah, again, as Allah, when He wants to create something, He just says, kun, be. Well, He doesn't say it, of course, we discussed this last week, just He wills it and it is. In Jannah, you will something and it is there. Whatever you want, whatever you will, whatever you wish, just by the very fact, by the very act of wishing it, it will be there, ready for you. And you might say that it is my wish, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates it. That's right. But if your wish was not there, your wish is instrumental in creating those things. It's just like, for example, the miracles. Some people say that the miracles, of course, the Prophet wants a miracle and Allah creates that miracle. Well, everything is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if the soul of the Prophet doesn't have that potential and ability to do that miracle, it's from his soul that it originates, it comes out. Of course, everything by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is his soul which creates that miracle. Now in Jannah, it is you who, when you wish, those things come into being. So you become an image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not possible except if you have come through this excursion, this journey, and you have gone back to him again. Otherwise, we were there before, we were from that spirit, but we couldn't do anything like this. We couldn't have these powers. We didn't have any wish at all, any will at all. When we have come here, we have found it, we have materialized it, realized it, and now we go back, and now we know everything, we have experienced everything. We can actually know what is willing, what is wishing. Everything has come into realization now. And of course, Allah says, many things are there in Jannah that you even cannot wish because you have not explored those areas. And we, of course, give them to you, add to your experience. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Whatever they want there, it will be there for them. And of course, there are much more with us which we are going to give them. Make them explore new areas, new places that they didn't even could imagine, they couldn't even imagine about after coming back to us from this journey. So I think this is the meaning of this رُجُوعَ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَإِلَيْهِ يَرْجَعُ الْعَمْرُ كُلُّهُ. All the effort, everything, every creature would go back to him again one day. And of course, going back to him, as I said, is different for different people. Some people would go to hell and some people would go to paradise, but still they come to a very, very deep realization of everything. Now, there's only one point that I have to mention at the end, and that is this journey, how it happens, how it goes actually. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he creates us, he is with us, and when we come to this journey, he is with us again. Well, as we know, he is everywhere, he is nearer to us than our jugular vein. And when we go back again, he's with us. When have we departed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that to go back to him? And this is, of course, a very complicated question. We say that things come from Allah. They depart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they go back to him. However, where they go, I mean, wherever they go, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. So when we say they depart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go away from Allah and they go back to him. And this is the meaning of ruju, this is the meaning of inqilab, and this is the meaning of sayrura, going toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, where this journey actually heads towards in the first place, so that it would go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever we go, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how this happens? Now, of course, we mentioned that verse from beginning of Surah Hadid. This verse is the key to the whole knowledge. As I said, the Prophet said, at the end of the time, some people will come who understand the meaning of this verse. Now, when the verses were revealed, of course, the companions didn't know what did they mean. Of course, we have some Muslims who say that companions understood best what the Quran meant. But we know that they even felt shy to go and ask the Prophet what was the meaning of a verse. And we know that the meaning of these verses have actually developed, have been explored throughout the time by Muslim philosophers, Muslim mystics, Muslim exegetes, and we have come to understand better and better and better the meaning of such verses. The Prophet says, at the end of the time come people who really know what this verse means. And I think he means by the end of the time, the Ashab of Imam al-Asr, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, that they would know what this verse means. This is very deep. I said, هو الأول والآخر. He is the beginning, he is the end. So we start from him, we go back from him. But one thing else, والظاهر والباطن. He is manifest, he is hidden. When we start second this journey, we come to see the manifestations of him. Not the hidden aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts from the hidden side to the manifestation, going back to the hidden side, seeing the hidden aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is here, we know, we see all his manifestations, but we do not grasp those things, those aspects, those attributes which are hiding behind all these manifestations. The journey comes from Batin to Zahir and then going back to Batin again. But that Batin, we didn't know. When we were created, we could not explain for ourselves what was the Batin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that we come to Zahir, we see the manifestation, and we go back to Batin again, now of course we come to a realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ تَرَى if you see, I just forgot the Arabic version of the verse. When the disbelievers would see that أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that all power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we believe in this, we do not see. But we believe that all power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we come to confusion. That we believe that all power belongs to Allah, but we see things differently. We see things having power independently themselves. Then we come to this confusion that, okay, if power all belongs to Allah, what about these different powers that we see and all these things? Now we cannot see completely. The kuffar do not believe in it at all, that all the power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, when the disbelievers, the verses I remember, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, when the disbelievers would see, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, when the power exclusively belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they have power themselves, but they see that it comes from him. It all shines from him. أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. They see that power all comes from him, and they see that Allah is Shadidul Azab. Now that only power is going to punish them, and his punishment is harsh. Of course, that is a very terrible and scary situation. If someone realizes that on the Day of Judgment, as the kuffar and disbelievers will realize. But it is, the journey is like this. We don't go anywhere actually. The whole creation wouldn't go anywhere. It is all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just a journey towards inside, towards the bottom of this world. And that's why the mystics, they call the whole experience that they have suluk, travel, isn't it? Now that travel, of course, is not just setting out of their houses and going somewhere. It is an inward travel, they call it. They travel inside themselves. And then they say, of course, there are four different types of travel, al-asbarul arba'ah, which Mullah Sadra has called his philosophical book Al-Asfarul Arba'ah, the four types of journey. Now, this journey is going inside, exploring the bottom of things, especially exploring the bottom of human soul itself. You see, if you believe in what the mystics say, okay, they say that we explore our soul, and we come to a realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Allah by going deep inside our souls. This is a journey, isn't it? Of course, where they started, Allah was there. When they end, Allah is there. But when they start, their realization of Allah is different from when they end. Now, all of us have that capacity and capability to set on that journey. Of course, don't worry, if you don't set on that journey, you will go through that journey after this life. That's why Allah has not asked everyone to be mystics, to set on this journey. Because this journey automatically will come for us after the life. Of course, it is very pleasurable. Some people would like to go and explore that now inside their souls. It is possible. But I want to say, for all of us it's possible. We have that. But what is the difference between us and a mystic? Although Allah is with all of us, although we have the same soul, the difference is that they have gone through that journey, they have come to a different realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we don't, which we haven't that realization. But inshallah, after this life, we are going to go through all those journeys to go deeper and deeper and deeper inside our souls to realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the journey we speak about afterlife, it is not a journey starting from somewhere, ending somewhere. It's just going deeper and deeper inside our souls. And then at the end we come to that realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the liqa Allah happens when we come to a point at our journey inside our souls where we could certainly realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that it could be called a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Liqa Allah, it could be called. So these are just some points about this rujoo'a ila Allah wa ilayhi turja'oon. And of course I know it's a very complicated issue, but you find this in, as I said, in hundreds of verses of the Quran, not even tens of verses, hundreds of verses of the Quran speak about this journey going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only for human beings, for everything. And inshallah, when we go back inside our souls, when we go back to Him, inshallah, we are prosperous and we meet Him in a way that He is pleased with us and we are pleased with Him, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. And this verse in Surah Fajr, ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'innah irji'i ila rabbik, come back to your Lord radiyatan مرضي الله وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله. This is always the paradox that human beings have. The more favor they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more accountable they are, more polluted they may become. So it is good to die at a young age if you are going to do more sins, okay. But it is good to die at old age, to have long life, if you are going to use that long life. Because then our degrees in paradise would increase. As I said, this life is an exploration, an excursion. In this exploration, the longer you go, more experience you would gather, and more favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you would receive. Therefore, a long life led in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it is much better than a short life. However, a short life in ma'asiyah is much better than a long life in ma'asiyah. And this is what we have in many ad'iyah, that for example Imam Sajjad in Sahifa has that, give me life as long as my hours, my days are spent in your obedience. And as soon as you feel that my days are going to be manipulated by shaitan, please return me to myself before I become polluted. So you could say, I mean, if a person who should go to Jahannam, wouldn't it be better that they were not created at all in the first place? It was better, of course. But it doesn't work this way. Everyone should come and explore and go back. And then it is this exploration which determines, at the beginning everyone is equal. It is this exploration, this excursion which determines, okay, who should go where. And here, if we follow the Quran, even one day more would be a treasure that we cannot really put a price on it. That's why Amirul Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib was saying that I wouldn't exchange one day of this world with 1,000 years of Akhirah. Because it is this one day which determines where I have to stand on the Day of Judgment and in Paradise.
Allah, you explained in the previous lectures about the children who die young. In the light of what you decided said today, is it either fair or unfair for them that they have no experience to either go to Jannah or maybe it's very lucky they escape the fire? How did this concept of fairness, is it applicable?
Yeah.
If they've not made this journey that we all have to make.
And they are not destined to make this journey, actually. In the first place, they are not created to continue or to finish this journey. They are given that position by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, of course, all of us have different lives. I mean, is it fair that we are created human beings and horses are created horses? Is it fair? This concept is not understandable by us at all. We know that things should be different, okay? But how Allah decides what should be what? Well, even we cannot speak in this language because it is He who gives the whatness to things, you see. It is He who creates things as they are in the first place. So He decides that who should stand where in this whole picture. And then according to the place that He gives to every person, there are responsibilities and there are accountabilities. So a child who leaves this world early is not responsible or accountable, but he's going to fill a gap later on. They are going to fill a gap, and that is of course those servants say so to speak in paradise, which of course we don't know what is their positions. And I'm sure if you know their positions now, you would have wished that you were one of those servants. And that is because we don't know what is our positions there. Certainly, yes.
On that point, for example, you're sitting there, we're sitting here. Now, one may ask, is that fair? But the fact is, you work for it, you strive, you struggle, we've done nothing. So, we were in the same boat, and you chose your position, and we chose ours.
Now, if I ask you, what have you done so that you have become a human being? Well, not certainly. We haven't done anything. I mean, in the first place, we are human beings, we haven't done anything. It's just favor pouring down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He decides. Of course, those things which come to our striving and struggle, that is of course where we have to ask whether it's fair or not. But those things which is decided purely by Him without us doing anything for it, of course, the question of fairness doesn't come in there. It's just He who fill the different points of this picture, the whole picture of the world, with different things.
You said that we are all in this journey and the angels are very worried. What have they got to account for? Why are they worried?
I don't know. I don't know really why they are worried. And it is just what we have read from those people who know, from Amirul Mu'minin. He says that they are really worried and they are scared of the day when they are going to meet their Lord, that Laqa Allah, which is going to happen for them as well. Because now we are all in the zahir of this world, going towards that Batin, which is the Day of Judgment. Now we are all in this Ajalun Musamma, in this appointed period which Allah has appointed for this life. We are here, angels are here, everything in this world are in this Ajalun Musamma. When that Ajalun Musamma comes to an end, and when that upheaval of the Day of Judgment comes, of course then we don't know why angels are going to be worried. We know that the angels are going to suffer, so to speak, by the blowing of the trumpets, because in the Quran we have that even the angels, when the trumpet is blown, they would go unconscious, they would die as well, and they are going to be taken to boundaries of this world so that they do not somehow they are not crushed in that evolution which is going to happen for this world during between the two blowings. However, they haven't done any sin. Why they should be accountable? It's just like the prophets. They haven't done any sin. Why they should be worried about the judgment? It's something which is so fearful, so huge, that even those who haven't done anything, their hearts would leap when it comes to thinking about that day.
When everything is destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how long you will live, what you will do, and what you will time spent in this world. In our du'as, we do ask for full amr. What is the concept to have this? If our life is destined that the number of years we are going to live, what how depends on us? What about asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for increasing our full amr in our du'as?
This is the art of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, that He has destined everything, still we can change that destination. But there are different levels of this plan. At one level, everything is fixed, nothing is going to be changed. And even those changes which are going to come about later on are all foreseen and have been included in that initial plan. So when we make a dua for the longevity of our lives, for example, if we do not do that dua, and our life is naturally, for example, 70 years, it is written in a lower book 70 years, and in the higher book 70 years as well, okay, in Ummul Kitab. Now, however, if we make a dua, and our life becomes 90 years. In the lower book, which is the book of Nahwan, Al-Mahw wal-Ithbat, it is written 70 years, and it changes to 90 years, okay, when we do the dua. But in the higher book, which is the initial plan, it is already written 90 books, considering our dua in it. So, it is a very wonderful system, which is not, we cannot calculate it. It is, by our arithmetic and mathematics, it's not calculatable. We cannot calculate it. But with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, everything is calculated already. The du'as, the decisions, the actions, all are taken into consideration and are written in two different books. Therefore, one book is changeable, and that is the book where the awliya and the prophets have reached and can see. And that's why their knowledge is changeable. They might say something, it might not happen. Okay, because it is going to be changed. But in that higher book, of course, everything is changed.
Good.
Good.
Any other one?
Okay. I might have misunderstood that during the middle of Sunday, in the middle of your lecture today, you said that the spirits that are given chance to come to this earth as human beings are the ones that will go through the process of Day of Judgment. So does it mean that there are some spirits created for human beings, but then they are not brought down as form of human in the form of human beings?
Yeah, spirit is a general term for many creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a portion of that spirit. Of course, there are spirits, high spirits, big spirits that never come to this world. They don't have this type of experience that we have. Of course, because they are very much exalted. However, that very simple portion of the spirit which comes into our body and comes into this excursion could go higher than that original exalted spirit which exists all the time beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the spirit, the soul of the Prophet is going to sit higher than all the spirits and all souls beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this journey, because of this excursion. And in Surah Teen, I think this notion is explained very clearly. وَالتِّينَ وَالزَّيْتُونَ وَسُورَ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنَ الْأَقْوَامِ. We have created human beings in the best of constructions. That is the spirits, which is of course the reality of human beings. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then we send them down to the lowest of the lower places, which is this world. We have come to this world. You see, the angels are above us, the spirits are above us. Everything is now above us. We are now in the lowest of the lower. Even when the Prophet wants to speak to Allah, the angels should come to him. Although he is going to be greater than all those, but still angels should come and bring the message to him. You see? ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونٍ. Except those who believe and do good deeds. Now, this exception, this istithna, is istithna munqati', not muttasil, according to Arabic grammar. It doesn't mean that those who believe and do good haven't come to أَسْفَلُ الصَّافِلِينَ. No. Everyone has come to أَسْفَلُ الصَّافِلِينَ. The Prophet has come to أَسْفَلُ الصَّافِلِينَ. A'imma has come to أَسْفَلُ الصَّافِلِينَ. Lowest of the Lord. However, because of this journey, for those who believe and do good, there is a reward, which is unseen. أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونٍ. Okay? There is a reward which is unseen, and that is all those things that they are going to get after this journey. They benefit, they go above angels, they go above that Holy Spirit, they go above everything else when they go to Jannah. There is such a reward. And then it says, أَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ الدِّينِ. Why do you think that you should deny? Of course, this is the Day of Judgment. It is by the Day of Judgment which all deeds would find meaning. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بَأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. If you realize this circle of coming and going, you would see that Allah is best of the Creator. His Hukm is the best of all rulings. And the type of creation is the best of all creation. So, yes, by coming down to this earth, this soul, this very small portion of that spirit, would find a place which without it wasn't possible. That ajrun ghayru mamnoon would haven't been possible unless coming to this world and going.
Thank you.
Sheikh, there is an ayah in Surah Tawbah, 11:23. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu qatilu ladheena yalunakum min al-kuffar wal yajidu feekum ghadha. This ayah is being used by the BNP to show that the Muslim religion is ruthless and uncaring. Can you comment on this ayah and what is the background to it? Because if you look at the other ayahs in the Quran, there is a lot of caring for other people's beliefs and all that.
You are cutting the journey short. Now this is 123 in Surah Tawbah. I think
the last
few months we have to go through the journey of Surah Tawbah until we come to that place. However, I think we have to put this verse into its context. Okay, so what it means is that, of course, the whole Muslim Ummah was faced with a type of invasion from every side by kuffar. Okay, and although there was a central command, but that central command was commanding people to fight in their own quarters against the kuffar. Okay, so قَاتُلُ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَكُم مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ means that fight with those kuffar who are in your own region. Because people might have wanted to come to Medina and then be dispatched to somewhere else, saying that you have to fight in your own area against the kuffar of your own area who are fighting, who are waging a war on you. And this is something which is, of course, it's a military type of command that every military commander must issue. It's not, I mean, when a country is in war, in the state of war, you might have lots of these military commands which make sense, of course. However, if you take this outside the context, I mean, وَلْيَجِدُوا فِيكُمْ غَلْظَةً, they have to find forcefulness in you, isn't it? Isn't this what America, the type of terminology America is using today, taking it from the Quran, forceful, what they call it? Forceful response or... No, they have something very similar, this ghalza they use. I do not remember the phrase now. I mean, this is something very natural. Take it out of the context and giving it a meaning, of course, would make it senseless. However, if you put it into the context, it's very natural and very sensible.
You mentioned that of the human beings will have one form of rujoo. Non-intangibles will have a different kind. Is there anything discussed about this, or is there something that you know?
Yes, there are a few things mentioned in the Quran. For example, about the earth, we have وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورَ رَبَّهَا, the earth will become shining with the light of your Lord. Everything would become shiny in the way that everything could understand and could speak whatever is inside it, all the information which is inside. Every molecule, every atom will speak to the reality which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the reality which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we have يَوْمَ إِذَن تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, on the day of judgment, the earth would speak about its information. So, this ruju would make earth to become like that. Also, we have about different organs of human beings speaking and bearing shahada, witnessing, testifying, and this means that they have actually turned into something which is intelligent and can testify. وَيَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْيَوْمْ نَخْدُمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, their hands would speak to us. So probably everything, now they say that even now everything is intelligent, we don't see. The intelligence has different levels. And when it becomes very weak, it is not realizable. There is a very weak intelligence in everything, in every object now in this world. When they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that intelligence will become strong and they could have intelligence as we have today, for example. That very moderate type of intelligence that we have. However, human intelligence would rise and would go much higher than what they have here in this world.
Sheikh, a few lessons back, when we were discussing about Iblis and the progeny of Shaitan who accompany human beings, and when that person dies, those bad genes also die with him. What about Iblis himself? Does he have perpetual life?
Perpetual life, you mean in this world?
Iblis.
In this world?
Yeah.
In this world, some people, some exegetists say that yes, until the day of judgment, it means until that appointed time ends. He, of course, then Iblis would die as everyone else would die with the first blowing. The first blowing, which actually kills everyone, would kill Iblis as well. And then it would be a phase of complete unconsciousness even for a belief until comes the second blow and he would be raised. However, some exegetes say that this verse which in which a belief asks for respite and قَالَ رَبَّ فَأَنذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ تُبْعَثُونَ, give me time until they are resurrected, which is of course that blowing and then the second blowing. The response is قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنذَرِينَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ, you are given respite, you are given time until an appointed day. Now, those exegetes who say that Iblis would live until the first blow would say that that appointed day is the day of first blow. However, we have in some riwayat and in the opinion of some exegetes that Yawm al-Waqt al-Ma'lum is the day when Imam al-As, Al-Jalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Shaykh, would come. And that is the day when the Iblis would actually die. And after that, of course, humans still they have their free will, still they have the type of life that we have. However, and still we might have evil people, but those evil people are not instigated, are not turned by shaitan. Yeah.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.